welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 5th of January, 2011. Kind of feels like a Wednesday, but of course this is the short holiday week, and it is indeed a Thursday. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. Our home station is KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA, AM 1240, our friends up in Globe and Gila County listening to the show, and KAPR, AM 930 in Douglas, serving Cochise County. We live stream the show at my website, buckmastershow.com, and at kvoi.com. And you have three places where you can hear the program anytime: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We begin today with a newsmaker interview with Marshall Vest. Mr. Vest is the economic forecaster at the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. 30 minutes past the hour, Priscilla Cornelia will join us talking about the condition or lack of Pima County roads. Then we'll be wrapping up the show with the Buckmaster Show legal contributor Don Luce will be with us. We encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can email your questions also at buckmastershow.com. And we begin now with Marshall Vest. He is the economic forecaster at the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. Happy New Year to you, Marshall.
Oh, and Happy New Year, Bill.
We are off and running on 2012, and when was the last time Marshall Vest was actually bullish about an economic recovery? It's been a few years.
It's been a long time coming, and I can't think back to when I was actually able to give a bullish forecast or a bullish assessment. But as 2011 comes to an end, the economy here in Arizona, as well as nationwide, is actually picking up. And in Arizona, we are no longer bouncing along the bottom as we have been since the recession ended over 2 years ago. We actually have a recovery in place, and many of the measures that we monitor now are moving upward and even gaining some momentum as the year comes to an end. So I think we're off to a great start in 2012.
We talked on Tuesday with Doug Ducey, the Arizona State Treasurer, and he also is positive and bullish for 2012. And when you think back a year ago, the word bankruptcy and all sorts of things were popping up when it came to the state of Arizona.
Yes, and that's referring, of course, to the fiscal situation at the state. Actually, if you look at bankruptcy stats, they're down very significantly. We're talking about the normal Chapter 11 and 13 and Chapter 7 liquidations. Those numbers have come down fairly significantly, some 20% or so.
20% in the Tucson area?
Yeah, there's in both the Tucson and Phoenix areas.
How about jobs in Arizona? The unemployment picture is improving, I hope.
The unemployment rate now is 8.7%8.7% in November, and that's statewide.
And it's a little lower in Tucson and Phoenix.
Yeah, it's about 1%, 1 percentage point lower in the two big metro areas. Now, that 8.7 is down from 10.5% about a year and a half ago. So that's good progress.
That is good progress. One area that is showing some progress, but it's not enough to do a jig about or get out and dance, is the housing situation. But housing foreclosures are coming down a bit, and our friend John Strobeck, who is the local kind of Tucson housing guru of Bright Futures Consultants, was quoted on the front page of today's Arizona Daily Star saying what he had said here on this program, you know, a week or so ago, that the good old days were never – and he basically said we are not ever going to see the housing market like we did before.
Well, I hope we don't go back to those – those days where we had people camping out overnight in subdivisions so that they could get into a lottery just to see if they could buy a house. That was insanity.
But he did say that we will see perhaps some real creative ways that people, even like leasing housing, that might become, people may not own homes anymore.
Well, you know, for decades, the way you actually saved for retirement was to buy the biggest house that you could and make those mortgage payments. And over the years, you wind up owning a house that has appreciated significantly in value, and it was the main source of your savings. And what was believed was that housing prices would never decline. Well, what we found out during the Great Recession is that's not the case. So I think it changes how former homeowners and potential homeowners going forward think about homeownership, and many of them are going to opt for renting. And of course, we have a very large inventory of vacant houses now. Fortunately, there's houses are very affordable, and investors are snapping up those properties. And that's very good news. But of course, investors need to rent those. And hopefully the price will move back up one of these days, and there'll be some money to be made from home ownership once again. But in the short term, I think potential homeowners are a little bit skittish.
But as far as cleaning up some of these foreclosures, are we getting – is there light at the end of the tunnel in that area?
Well, yeah. The foreclosure numbers are down in, statewide, both in Metro Phoenix and Tucson, down some 20% to 30% during the past 12 months. That's really good news. The foreclosures are still at a very high level. So we still have a ways to go, but I think the good news is we are beginning to work our way through this distressed housing market. A large portion of housing sales have been of a distressed nature, and that, of course, puts downward pressure on prices, and all the measures that we have show that housing prices continue to fall in both Metro Tucson and Phoenix. Well, actually, one measure showed a slight uptick in the Phoenix area in the third quarter. That could be the bottom, but I don't think so. I think housing prices will continue to decline and here in the near term. Hopefully, by the end of 2012, we can get housing prices stabilized and moving back up again. But now is a great time to buy a house.
It really is. The prices are unbelievably low. Marshall Vest is with us on the Buckmaster Show. He is the economic forecaster at the University of Arizona, coming up on 12:13. If you have a question of an economic question or other concern, you can call us at 790-2040, 790-2040. Let's go back now to the Arizona economy as far as what you're seeing in job growth. We talked a little bit about the unemployment rate, but what about creating new jobs?
Yeah, well, that's really good news in that we are now creating jobs once again. Statewide during the recession, we lost well in excess of 300,000 jobs. That was one in every nine jobs just simply disappeared. But within the past year, we're actually seeing some job growth. Statewide, we've added roughly 50,000 jobs. Metro Tucson, 6,000 to 7,000 jobs during the past 12 months. So that's job growth of about 2%. That's slow in comparison to prior recoveries. But the good news is at least employment levels are now headed in the right direction. And a little bit of employment growth will solve a lot of the problems that we've been facing here in this economy.
Retail sales are doing much better as well. We're even hearing of some pent-up demand for automobiles.
Yeah, consumers have been spending money during calendar 11. Retail sales increased by almost 10% statewide, a very similar increase in Metro Tucson as in Metro Phoenix. That's been led by consumers' willingness to use credit once again, and they're moving to satisfy some pent-up demand, especially for automobiles.
So the jobs that are created, Marshall Vest, are these mainly retail jobs, would you suspect, or is there some manufacturing in there?
Well, yeah, we're seeing increases once again in trade, both retail and wholesale trade. We're seeing increases in warehousing and transportation. Finally seeing some increases in professional and business services, which is really an important sector. It's a very large sector and some really good paying jobs. Biotech, for instance, is part of the professional and business services sectors. So, even some small increases now in manufacturing. So it's fairly broad-based, Bill.
The recovery will be slow, though, I assume.
Well, we still have very high consumer debt levels. We have low consumer and business confidence, any number of things to worry about, not the least of which is whether the public sector, particularly Congress, can do the right thing to keep the economy moving. We still have distress in housing markets and not a lot of job growth. So, and then distress in state and local government budgets. So that's going to be a drag. And probably the biggest factor constraining Arizona's growth is the lack of mobility of the nation's population. We're suffering the lowest mobility rates that we've ever seen, at least since the data was recorded, and that's 1948.
People aren't moving as much.
Well, and of course, they can't.
No.
If you are upside down in your house, you owe more than what it's worth. You're frozen. You can't sell it.
Marshall Vest is with us. We're going to take a break here on the Buckmaster Show, the Thursday edition. We will be back, and we will be talking not just about job growth, but what about the Arizona as a growth state? Are we still growing like we used to? That'll be my first question when we continue for Marshall Vest after the break.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50-plus housing awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Well, 21 on the Buckmaster Show. Some of you have been wondering about that interview that we did with Andrew Weil, that you would like to hear it. It is available at buckmastershow.com. It is also still up at tucsoncitizen.com. Our half hour yesterday with Dr. Andrew Weil was wide-ranging, covered lots of healthcare topics, and many of you have indicated that you would like to hear that. You missed it. You missed the show yesterday, but you can always archive any of our shows by going to buckmastershow.com. The shows are also archived at tucsoncitizen.com. We're coming up on 12:22 on the Buckmaster Show. Marshall Vest is with us. Mr. Vest is the chief economic forecaster. He is the economic forecaster at the University of Arizona College, the Eller College of Management. Marshall, I said before the break that the U.S. Census Bureau, we're talking about Arizona's growth. The Census Bureau says that Arizona added nearly 70,000 new residents in the year ending July 1st, making Arizona the eighth fastest growing state in the nation. But you're not buying that.
Well, Bill, it's difficult, of course, to gauge population growth because we only measure it once every decade. So we just have the results from the 2010 census, and of course we know what it was in the year 2000. The question is, what was the path between those two census points? And the Census Bureau has given us a set of estimates, which I'm not buying. They're showing that Arizona's population continued to grow through the Great Recession, and I don't believe that's the case. In fact, I think we actually lost a little bit of population. Not big losses, but clearly unprecedented. And given that we add more people due to natural increase because we have more births than we have deaths, that means that net migration was significantly negative and deeply negative. And that's something new for Arizona.
It's 12:23 on the Buckmaster Show. On the Buckmaster Show, live line is Joe with a question for Marshall Vest. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, first of all, a big thank you. I just absolutely love when you come on the show, Marshall.
And well, thank you, Joe.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And thanks, Bill. You know, if you could comment to a couple things, and the $700 trillion derivative market, which has increased 107 trillion bucks in the notional value just in the last half a year alone. And the world GDP is, I don't know, what do you say, Marshall, about 65 trillion, 58, what is it?
Well, that's a really good question, and I don't have that answer. I think you know better than I.
Well, no, I don't. But whatever you say goes, because, you know, but anyways, it's just a staggering, freaky number. And when I think about that, I wonder how much of it, when we look at the MF global meltdown and the hypothecation that came to play, I'm wondering how much of that $700 trillion derivative market is hypothecated profits. And with that, I would also like you to speak to J.P. Morgan's $90 trillion balance sheet, which has a direct naked short sale position on the silver, you know, shorting silver. I mean, I can't think of a dumber thing to do and more risky. And when you think MF Global, it could easily turn into J.P. Morgan. It could look like Bank of America's stock, which some analysts are talking 50 cents for that thing, you know. So, and did you read Bill Gross's from PIMCO, an article he just wrote this morning?
No, I didn't see that. What did he say?
He's killing us. He's doomsday. I mean, you want to read a buzzkill, but so there's, I know I threw a lot of different things at you, and I just, if you could comment to any of that, I'd appreciate it. And the next thing I'll ask you is, are there any good books out there that explains what a crashed currency, what happens when a currency crashes? And I, you know, just, I don't think anybody knows about what that happens and it, or how that thing goes down.
Okay, Joe. Thanks, Joe. We'll try to get to a few of these questions. The derivatives market.
You know, I wish I knew a lot more about that than what I do, and I'm going to have to defer to someone who does.
What about a good book on crashing of the currency?
Well, the best book that I've read recently, which is somewhat related, is The Big Short, which describes what happened in the mortgage markets and, you know, the derivatives that were created out of the investment banking community. That really goes a long way, I think, to helping us understand what happened during this last financial crisis.
I think there was a third question in there. It had to do with the silver. Silver was way up there for a while, and that market has really fallen, that commodity market.
Well, yeah. There was a lot of money sloshing around in commodity markets recently, and the price of most commodities now has backed off quite a bit. Those are really risky markets, I would say. And if you want to bet on those and own some of those, you better fasten your seatbelt because they can go down as quickly as they go up.
Yeah, it can be wild ride. 12:27 with Marshall Vest on the Buckmaster Show. Marshall, getting back to the Arizona people, the growth of this state, the population growth, you say perhaps we might have lost 3,000 people here since, well, that we're here, I guess, before the market sort of fell out in 2008. So we've actually lost population.
Prior to the census counts, the Census Bureau itself estimated that population was almost 1,030,000 in Pima County, Metro Tucson. And they were able to count about 982,000 people during the census. So, you know, the question is, well, were the estimates simply off? And the methods that are used to make those estimates, did they break down? Or did population actually decline? Or were there a large number of people who just simply didn't want to be counted that and didn't get counted? And the jury is still out as to which one of those better explains the 980,000 people that are now living
so
in Pima County.
Guess we have about 1 million people in the area.
Yeah, roughly 1 million. And the same thing was true in the Metro Phoenix area as well. Those numbers were significantly below what had been expected.
Okay, Marsha, we're going to wrap it up here. Just a few seconds left, but your bottom line, bullish things will be recovering, but it will be slow. A couple of years?
Well, yeah. due to all the headwinds that we face, I think the recovery is going to continue at a slow pace, though I do think that the economy will continue to get better as we go through the year. I think at the end of 2012, we'll look back and feel a lot better about the economy. And my forecast suggests that we will have repaired all the damage that was done by the middle of the decade, 2015.
All right. Marshall Vest, a pleasure. Again, I hope you have a great new year. Thanks, Marshall.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Coming up on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, what about the condition of our roads? We'll be exploring that next on the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. After killing Osama bin Laden, withdrawing troops from Iraq, and starting to wind down the Afghan war, President Obama says the U.S. is turning a page when it comes to defense strategy. He's vowing that the U.S. military will still be the world's strongest, even as the Pentagon cuts spending, shrinks the Army and Marine Corps, and pulls back from Europe. Republicans offering criticism of the administration's changing defense strategy. The chairman of the House Armed Services Committee calls it a retreat from the world in the guise of a new strategy. Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum are directing most of their criticism today at President Obama's economic policies rather than taking shots at each other. The candidates now focusing on New Hampshire ahead of next week's primary in that state. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 8 points. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
One of the wettest Decembers on record in Tucson. Yes, it was good news for putting a little bit of a dent in our over 10-year-long drought. However, The rains made one problem even worse, and that is the pothole problem that seems to be getting bigger by the day. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Pima County Transportation Director Priscilla Cornelio. Priscilla, good to see you. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, and the same to you.
You know, it gets to the point, and I do live I live up in the county, up in the foothills area, and the roads are just the patching just doesn't seem to get it anymore.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
What can we do?
Well, and I have to sort of say, well, you know, the recent rains that we have, I agree with you. Isn't this great, you know, having this rain?
Oh, yeah.
The moisture. The problem is we have roads that are deteriorating with cracks. The water get in and potholes, you know, pop up. And what's been happening is, as we say, it's our roads are now rutting out. And we know we have a serious problem. We have subdivisions that are over 20 years old, and we haven't really been maintaining them the way that we should have been maintaining them. And those roads, a lot of those roads, have to be totally reconstructed.
See, that's where we're getting to that point now, where the patch jobs aren't making it. And I guess in your business, it's called pavement preservation. I mean, you're getting down to the core of it, where the patching doesn't work. Now, you're talking about serious money, though, when you move beyond the repair of the potholes.
Absolutely. In 2007, we had a study that was done, and we had a van that went through and looked at all of our roads. And actually, they only did the major arterial roads.
Did they look at all of the major roads?
The roads, they did.
Okay.
And that was in 2007, and they came up with a program for us. And the program was $20 million a year for the next 20 years. And that is what would be needed to bring all of our roads up into like a okay category. And
this is the first I've really heard of this actually putting a price tag, at least on the county roads, what it would cost. So you're saying $20 million for 20 years.
Correct.
That's big bucks.
It is. It absolutely is. We've been doing almost a Band-Aid approach, and we go and we fix a pothole here, a pothole there. It's very expensive to rebuild a street. It's basically $1 million a mile if you had to rebuild a two-lane roadway. And that means dig it all up, address the base course, the drainage, and those sort of issues. And unfortunately, we do not have the money to be able to do that.
The money has been – in many cases, the legislature took some of this money away from you.
Absolutely. Our revenues that the Pima County Department of Transportation gets is based on when you fill up your gasoline in your tank, we get a certain amount of that revenue we call highway user revenues.
So you get a piece of that action.
Correct. And okay. It gets allocated statewide to all the counties and the cities. In addition, the counties also get some additional money that comes in from the vehicle license tax. Vehicle license tax used to be much, much higher. It's now kind of about $11 million a year. And our gas tax revenues have been on the decline for a number of years because as gasoline gets so expensive, people are buying less gasoline. In essence, I'm getting this year with the combination of the vehicle license tax and the HERF revenues, I'm getting about $45 million a year. Well, 8 years ago, I got $50-some million. So you can sort of see I have the same mileage of roads to maintain, and I got significantly less money to do it.
Now you have set some priorities. Before we leave pothole repair, there was a letter that you received that was published in the Arizona Daily Star. Somebody really upset that they the pothole cost them a couple of tires and whatever. You don't do reimbursements.
No, we don't. We say to people, put in a claim, but for the most part, we don't. Again, we have 1,700 miles of roads in the county. We can't know of every existence of every single pothole. That's what we would like people, if there's a pothole so we know about it, that you call in and let us know. And our phone number is 740-2639. So if you see any safety problem on the road, like an edge drop-off or site visibility or a pothole, call us and tell us. And I can say that if it's on a major arterial roadway and it's a real safety issue, we will repair that within a week. If it is on a little local street, you know, in a subdivision, it might take us a month to get to repairing it. But we do try to keep up with all of our potholes.
Okay, and I'm going to give that number again, 740-2239.
No, 2639.
Oh, 2639. Okay, 740-2639. If you have a pothole that that needs to be addressed, at least get your name on the list, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's quickly go over some of these top road jobs for the five priorities on your list. Number one, you want to add a one-way left turn lane and bike lanes to a half-mile stretch of Cortero Farms Road between Thornydale and Delta Way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a $750,000 project. But that one will go ahead? Is that budgeted?
Right. And I think some of the lists that you're talking about are from our safety management system.
Okay.
And these are places where we've had a lot of accidents and crashes, and we have a safety program that we identify projects that we need to get out and handle and address the issue. And some of those are all funded now, and some we have to try to budget, try to get monies from the Regional Transportation Authority.
Like at this one intersection, there were 17 crashes in 2010. That had to do at Mona Lisa and Ina just because there were some electrical cabinets and power poles in the
way. Right. And we've already made some little improvements out in that area to improve the site visibility. So we do try when, again, these are from a liability issue and from safety, we try to take immediate action when we hear about some of these. Some of the other projects are very expensive. I think, as you just said, one was $750,000. It might take us a little longer, a couple years, before we can budget those.
Here's a reasonable one, $50,000, install a flashing pedestrian signal at Windy Point on the Catalina Highway.
And we are going to be trying to do that within a year.
Install a hawk light. What's that? A hawk?
Those are the ones that the pedestrian presses the button and the lights flash and then they can cross. It can be a high visibility crosswalk to make it a lot safer.
That one's at crosswalk at Palo Verde and Alford? Alford Road.
Right. I think, and we have another one at Palo Verde and Milton.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and that one also. Those two are starting the design process.
And then number five on the list, add a two-way left turn lane, bike lanes, and a paved shoulder to Shannon Road between Club Drive and Hardy Road. This one is a half-million-dollar improvement job.
That one is again, a lot of these safety improvements, a lot has to do with the alignment of the road and the vertical curves and the site visibility issues, which is what we, generally speaking, can be very expensive to try to correct those problems.
So there are – you've got a list and you have the safety list. And as you mm-hmm. say, if the pothole presents a safety issue, you will address that immediately.
Absolutely. And one of the things on top of all of this is, which I complain about with our revenues in a decline, that I don't have enough money to maintain roads, but I have a lot of money to construct roads. So we have two big projects that are under construction right now, and they're Cortero Farms McGee, Thornydale to Mona Lisa, and that's going to be a new bridge across the CDO, and Cortero Farms McGee, Mona Lisa to La Cañada. And those heavy congestion up in the northwest side, and we're going to make these roads all weather accessible. And then we have one other job that we're waiting, it's pending to award the bid, that's La Cañada River Road to Ina Road. I think that we're trying to make these significant improvements to our roads to improve the pavement mm-hmm. and get rid of mm-hmm. the safety issues that are out there.
What about PAG? The Pima Association of Governments would like to increase the gas tax by up to 28%. Would that help you?
Oh, yeah, would it? Think of all the money I could get in there.
Those projects, those big projects, are those in association with RTA or are those separate?
No, those are RTA projects. And it's, in the past, there was no RTA in 2006. We have the RTA. And now if we didn't have the Regional Transportation Authority, that we wouldn't be doing a lot of these roads. The RTA funds make up 40% of our capital program now.
So that is at least we're moving ahead as far as new construction is
Correct.
Concerned.
Correct.
As far as existing roads, well, and the maintenance there, we're getting back to that issue of what we call pavement preservation.
Right.
And we're down to the nitty-gritty there. And again, I want to give you that number because if you do have a pothole that's really been bothering you, and I know it can be a big issue, 740-2639, and you will get on the list. And if it's a secondary road, they may get to you, well, and did you say within a month?
In a month or so.
But if it's a primary, in a week.
Right.
Okay. Priscilla Cornelio, thank you very much, head of Pima County Transportation. It's good having you on the show, and we'll have you back to get an update here as we get into the new year. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks. This is the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:45. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. Don Luce, our legal contributor, is coming up next.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. 1249 on the Buckmaster Show, and once a month here on the Buckmaster Show, we talk legal issues. And when you live in the state of Arizona, there is never a shortage of legal issues to discuss. Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates, whose offices are in Tucson and Phoenix, is with us. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Bill.
Hope you had a great holiday season.
I did, and same.
You know, well, first of all, you've updated. Has the Arizona Laws 101 now been updated?
The second edition of Arizona Laws 101 is coming out this month.
And as I say, never a shortage of issues to talk about. And we've been talking about the marijuana laws, and we've been – this is kind of an ongoing issue that we have been discussing. And Governor Brewer now saying, Don Luce, that she will not seek a change in federal marijuana laws that could alleviate fears that government workers could be prosecuted for issuing dispensary permits.
She will not join the four other states that are seeking to have marijuana changed from a Schedule I drug to a Schedule II drug. A Schedule I drug like heroin or LSD is deemed not to have any medical benefit and therefore cannot be dispensed through a pharmacy. A Schedule II drug, while it remains controlled, can nonetheless be dispensed through a pharmacy because it's deemed to have some medical benefit under appropriate circumstances. Washington, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Colorado have asked the federal government to reclassify marijuana to a Schedule II drug. Governor Brewer, for whatever reason, is not going to join in that request. Now, it's interesting that we should be talking about that because at the same time, her lawsuit just got thrown out by Judge Bolton of the U.S. District Court. Your listeners may remember that back in May, Governor Brewer instructed Attorney General Tom Horn to file a federal lawsuit essentially asking Judge Bolton for an advisory opinion on whether state employees would be at risk if they issued licenses to medical marijuana dispensaries. Judge Bolton said, look, it's an interesting issue, but it's not one for this court to decide, and she dismissed the complaint.
Let's step back a little bit, a little history here, a little overview. This medical marijuana initiative was passed in November 2010. Where is this right now?
Boy, that is
a – Is it kind of dead in the water? Or,
no, I mean, it's not. It's not dead in the water. There are five other medical marijuana lawsuits pending.
Okay.
They've been filed in Maricopa County Superior Court, and what they're doing essentially is urging the court to order Governor Brewer to instruct the Department of Health Services to issue the licenses to the dispensaries so that this Medical Marijuana Act can be implemented. Right now, there are 18,000 Arizonans who have permission to use marijuana, but there's really no place legally where they can obtain it. And so what the process is doing in essence is forcing them to either obtain it illegally or to try to grow it themselves, neither one of which is a very good option.
Okay, so this is going to be an ongoing story, and we'll see where that one goes. Drunk driving law changes. Beginning on January 1st, if you're pulled over for drunken driving, odds are you won't be able to argue your case to a jury. What's that about?
Well, up until January 1st, people charged with drunk driving were entitled, they had the right to a jury. That's changed. Now, not with respect to every person who's charged with drunk driving. This is with respect to first-time offenders, people who don't have a prior conviction within the past 7 years, and people who aren't charged with extreme DUI, which means they have a blood alcohol content of 0.15 or greater. So first-time, simple offenders, they get the trial before the judge, not a jury, which may or may not be what they want, But there is some good news here, and that is first-time offenders no longer have to have an ignition interlock device for 12 months. It's been reduced. It's now 6 months. And so that's going to result, among other things, in reducing the cost of essentially paying your penalty, because those interlock devices are expensive. You have to rent them. And the cost of an interlock device over the course of a year is over $1,000.
Wow. Now, this is going to be challenged, I would assume, this new law, because some would say that, hey, I'm entitled to a jury trial.
That's exactly right. Yeah. What the challenge is going to be, look, if I'm convicted, I have to go to jail, and you're telling me that I don't have a right to have a jury decide my fate?
Doesn't sound like America.
they're going to claim that it's unconstitutional. Yes. It'll be interesting to follow that.
Some changes to liability limits. Two state lawmakers, Don Luce, want some changes to the sections of the Arizona Constitution that govern how much businesses and individuals have to pay and to whom when a jury finds they're liable for killing or injuring someone.
Yes, this is a classic battle between trial lawyers on the one hand and insurance companies on the other hand. Now, to put this in context, in some states, most notably Texas perhaps, there are caps on non-economic damages. So for instance, if you're injured by the malpractice of your doctor, you're entitled to your economic losses, which would be your medical expenses and lost wages and so forth. But with regard to non-economic damages in Texas, they're limited to $250,000 against doctors and $500,000 against hospitals. Arizona doesn't have anything even close to that because in our Constitution, there is a ban against putting caps on damages that people may recover for injuries and wrongful death. Now, the Arizona legislature who's proposing this change, Jack Harper, is saying that he's going to ask voters to repeal those Arizona constitutional provisions and essentially let the legislature determine what the caps might be. Radical change.
That would be a huge departure, and that's Representative Jack Harper, a Republican from Surprise, Arizona, who is spearheading this. But this is – when it's a change to the Arizona Constitution, this is something that the legislature can put on the ballot, but they can't make the decision in that change.
That's absolutely –
The voters would have to change that, and who knows how that might look on the ballot.
That's absolutely correct. Well, you know, this this proposal is very similar to – what was on prior ballots. The voters rejected similar proposals twice before. So I'm not sure that everyone is really on board with the need to change the Constitution of Arizona to limit the amount that injured people can recover against the people who caused them their injury. Now, there's another proposal, and this one is by another Republican, John Fillmore, from Apache Junction. He doesn't propose putting caps on damages, but what he proposes is changing the system so that punitive damages, which are those damages that are awarded to punish people, those types of damages would benefit educational institutions rather than the person who brings the lawsuit. So for instance, if I went to court and punitive damages were awarded because somebody acted so outrageously that the jury found that they should be punished in a monetary way, those punitive damages wouldn't go to me as the claimant. Rather, they would go to the state of Arizona for educational purposes or so forth. But that's a separate proposal advanced by a separate legislator. The point is, Two legislators are now advocating that we change the system, and anytime you have something like that, you're going to get a lot of notice from the trial lawyers.
Oh, I bet. Don Luce, thank you very much. I want to talk a little bit about your book, Estate Planning, and the reason I want to bring that up here in the remaining minute is it's a new year. People make a lot of resolutions. Of course, one of the common ones, lose weight. But you know, a good one would be get your estate in order.
Absolutely, Bill. And, you know, estate planning isn't just about a trust or a will. It can be something as basic and fundamental as a power of attorney or a living will. These are all documents that are designed to make sure that your wishes are actually carried out by people who you rely upon for treatment or support. And it may be that you go to your attorney and you have your living will updated, or you have one created if you haven't ever done so before. That's going to put you in really good shape for the year ahead.
Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. The author is Don Luce. His other book, Updated Version of Arizona Laws 101. Don Luce, always a pleasure. We look forward to talking with you in the month of February, early in February, and I hope the new year starts off very well for you.
Thanks, Bill, and same to you.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on the close of the Buckmaster Show, a reminder, it is tax season, and our good friend Michael C. Flowers is ready for you at Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Michael is our CPA here on the Buckmaster Show. We highly recommend him to you. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we'll be talking about the author of A Safeway in Arizona, a book about the Gabrielle Giffords tragedy and the shooting of January 8th. That's tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR, Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.